All right, Psalm 91. Most people believe that this psalm was written by Moses. We have a way of, when we're turning the psalms, to identify all of them with David, but David didn't write all the psalms. One reason why people believe that Psalm 91 was the Lord used Moses to write it, though there's no identification there on in the psalm, but the one before, Psalm 90, is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. But whether David wrote it or Moses, it really doesn't matter. But this psalm, like so many of the psalms, is a messianic psalm. It speaks of the Messiah, speaks of Christ. And when you speak of Christ, you speak of his people, because they are inseparable. The Lord Jesus Christ and his people in him are one, that they may be one even as we are, Father, he prayed. And this psalm contains promises of deliverance for the Messiah and for his people. This psalm contains promises of protection and victory for Christ and his people. And this psalm is identified with the ministry of our Lord. We see this psalm in his ministry. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 4, when Satan tried and tempted the Lord on the Mount of Temptation, when he'd been there for a good while without food or water, fasted, and Satan came to him in this hour of weakness to tempt him. You remember reading about it. Well, Satan used Psalm 91 in this temptation process. Luke 4, verse 10. Satan said, back in verse 9, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Prove it. For it is written, Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So this psalm was used there by Satan in the temptation of our Lord, speaking of the care of the Father for his Christ and for his people. And he gave his angels charge over thee. Look at Psalm 91. You read that in verse 9, Psalm 91, verse 11, he says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is a thread that runs through the Word of God, the angels. Paul said they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Angels didn't just minister to our Lord. And you'll read where many times in his earthly journey they ministered to him. But they ministered to us, unseen and unknown and unappreciated too often. But they are ministering spirits sent by God to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. David wrote this in Psalm 34. Listen. The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Just like an army camped around a certain area to protect it from the enemy. Angels of God encampeth round about them that fear the Lord, and he delivers them. You see, our enemy Satan, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Their principality, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, unseen. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks we can't deal with, not equipped to deal with, and don't want to deal with, are dealt with by the angels. That's right. But his angels will deal with the flesh. Turn to Matthew 18. If they're called upon, they will. But I get the picture here. This psalm says he gives his angels charge over thee. They've got a mission. They're given a job to do in reference to God's people, ministering spirits. Keep them in all their ways, lest they dash their foot against a stone, encamping about them to protect and deliver them. And here in Matthew 18, our Lord talks about the little ones. Now, he's not talking about infants in a mother's arms. Of course, he does refer to them. Naturally, they're as much his people. As we're much his people when we're infants as well when we're grown. But you see, the disciples had argued about who was the biggest and the greatest and the most important. And he said to them, he didn't just say this to Peter, he said it to all of them. He said in verse 3 of Matthew 18, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. You don't become little children, you become as little children, humble. Children have no class system and division and greatest and most important and richest and prettiest and all that. They're just children on the same level and plane. And they get along. They're children. They're humble. They're dependent on others. And they know that. And he tells his people, your pride and arrogance and vainglory and self-praise, and you've got to go. You've got to come down, be converted, changed, humble, broken, stripped as a little child. And then through this whole chapter, he talks about these little children. Verse 6, he said, verse 5, whosoever shall receive such little child in my name receiveth me, receive one of his children. Verse 6, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, that believe in me, there's the key. They believe in me. They may be 10 years old. I'm not saying a 10-year-old can't believe. He certainly can. Or 12 or 20 or 40 or 60 or 90. But those who believe in him are little ones. They've been converted and become as children. They're little ones. They believe in him. And that's what he's talking about all the way through here. And then verse 10, now watch this. Take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. Take heed now. His children, his elect, his redeemed, his children. To be careful now that you don't despise one of them and get it in for one of them and line up against one of them and seek to hurt one of them, and to misuse one of them, and to tear down one of them. Be careful now, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels who encamp about them, who've been given charge over them, who ministers to them, their angels whom God has ordained and ordered to take care of them, they behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They're in touch with him. Be careful. The Son of Man's come to seek and to save little ones, lost ones, helpless ones, sinful ones. And he thinks enough of them that if a man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, he'll leave 100 and go get that one. So his angels little children. That's what I'm talking about today, little children under his care. So let's look at it here in Psalm 91. Little children under his care. Verse 1 of Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place, the secret place. Where is it that we dwell? Where is this secret place? Well, this secret place is his presence. The presence of the Lord is called the secret place. Why is it called the secret place? Because it's not known to most people. It's not experienced by anyone except his own. It's a secret place. Secret place. Let's see a few psalms that refer to this. Psalm 27, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 27, in the time of trouble he'll hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He set me upon a rock. Psalm 31, turn a page over. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. I shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. He that dwelleth. You know, when I think of the secret place, I think of the Holy of Holies. Behind the veil. No one allowed in there but the high priest, and he only once a year, not without blood. But there's where the Shekinah glory was, between the cherubims, over the mercy seat. Presence of God. That old high priest once a year would lift the veil and go into the secret place. Sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And he'd come out. Go in, come out. Once a year. Go in a secret place. Well, you and I as priests of the living God, because Christ is our great high priest, we don't go in and out. We dwell there. Oh, look at it. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Within the veil. In the presence of God, the secret place of the Most High. Oh, the glory of it. Oh, the riches of it. Oh, the security of it. Oh, the peace of it. We dwell there all the time. And look at the word, abide. Lodge. We lie. L-O-D-G, that's where we lodge. My habitation, that's my home. We lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. Secret place. Shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 17, the psalmist said, keep me as the apple of the eye. Pupil. Protect me as person protects the pupil of his eye. I told someone, no part of our body is protected quite like the eye. It's got a shelf built over it to keep the rain out. It's got eyelashes up here to filter, and eyelashes here and eyebrows to filter out the dust particles. It's got a door that shuts. Closes it, everything out that would harm. Protection. God has designed the protection. And it's built in and surrounded by hard bone to deliver it from danger. And that's the care the Lord put about his people. Keep me as the pupil of the eye. Keep me as hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57 says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge till these calamities are all past. That's where we are. Where do we dwell? In the secret place. Presence of God. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Protected and kept. secure as the pupil of the eye. Verse 2, who's our refuge? I will say of the Lord, I will say. I know who David, son of Moses, says here, what David said in Psalm 23. I don't know about everybody else, but the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about everybody, but the Lord is my shepherd. And Moses says here, I'm going to say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my refuge. I read what Paul said a while ago. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. It's not a what, it's whom. My refuge is not a place, it's a person. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He, the Lord, is my refuge. He's my refuge from the storm. You know, turn to Isaiah 28. A lot of folks have refuges. Isaiah called them in Isaiah 28 false refuges, refuges of lies. Verse 15 of Isaiah 28, you have said, we have made a covenant with death. With hell are we in agreement. We're not afraid to die and we're not afraid of hell. When the overflowing scourge of God's wrath, calamity shall pass through, it won't come nigh unto us. We have a refuge. We've made lies our refuge. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow your hiding place. Oh! If we've got a false hiding place and a false refuge, when God's judgment and wrath comes through, it'll rout us out of that false refuge and flood it. But Moses says, Lord, my refuge. The Lord's my refuge, and judgment cannot sweep him away. And not only that, but he's my fortress. He's my hiding place. He's my refuge from the storm. And he's my fortress against all my enemies. He's my strong tower. And when the enemies of my soul come upon it, say, I'll have that soul. My Lord said, you will not. He's my tower. He's my fortress. Because he's my God. He's my God. In him will I trust. He can be trusted. In him, I will say of the Lord, and the word Lord there is Jehovah God, Jehovah my Savior. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord. When you see it written like that, it's the Jehovah God, my Savior. I'll say of him, my Messiah, the God-man, my Redeemer. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust, who can be trusted. Now, turn to Psalm 146. And let me issue a warning like the psalmist. Let me issue a warning. Don't put your trust in a man or a man or an organization or a plan or a denomination. Don't put your trust in anything that has to do with flesh. Now listen to it in Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, leaders, kings, powerful men, rich men, nor in the son of men, in whom there is no help. There's no salvation in men or their organizations or their gospels or their plans or them. Listen, verse 4. His breath goes forth. You know, everything that stands between a man and the grave is one breath. It's such a flimsy. That's all. When he stops that, he stops existing. All God has to do is cut his breath off and he's gone back to the dirt. Don't trust him. He just lives by a tiny thing called breath. His life is a vapor. Listen, he returned to his earth. His earth. He came from it and he's going back to it. That's his habitation and home. That's his origination. The dirt. Going back to the dirt. God reigns in the heavens. The heavens are the Lord's. And all things. Man, he owns a pile of dirt. That's his habitation. Don't trust him. No matter how impressive he is and how charismatic he is and how persuasive he is, he's just a breath. He's going back to his dirt and listen. And when he does, that very day, his thoughts perish with him. His ideas, his philosophies, his principles, his plans, his great and wonderful things that he's organized and promoted and got you to follow. Don't follow him. He's not going the right way. He's not the right one. He's just a breath. He belongs in the side. And when he's gone, you're left out there by yourself. Because his ideas die with him. And not alone with that, but listen. Happy, listen, is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, his strength, his refuge, his fortress, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, who keepeth truth forever. Oh, that's the one. Nowadays, Moses said, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. Oh, that's sheer happiness. Peace. And listen to what he says here. He's willing and able to deliver us. Listen, he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from the snare, from the trap, from the dungeon of the fowler. He'll deliver you from the noise and pestilence. He'll deliver you from the curse of the law being made a curse for you. He'll deliver you from the penalty of sin. Listen, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He'll deliver you from all fear of death. He came to deliver those who all their lifetime were subject to what? Fear of death. But we don't need the fear of death. We've already died in Christ. He that liveth and believeth in me will never die. And he'll deliver this body from the grave. The same Holy Spirit that brought forth our Lord Jesus from the dead shall bring forth your mortal body. Don't be afraid. He'll deliver you from the snare, from the trap, from the dungeon, from the curse, from the penalty, from the power, from the grave, from the noise and pestilence, and he'll cover you. Listen, he'll cover you with his feathers. He'll cover you with his righteousness. He'll cover your nakedness. And your beauty is his beauty. Your comeliness is his comeliness. And he'll, under his wings shalt thou trust, under the wings of healing. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about healing of the soul. Sins and sicknesses and diseases and leprosy. The wings of healing and health are his wings. And listen, and his truth will be your shield, your buckler. He'll put to flight your enemies. He'll put them to flight. In verse 5, I shall not be afraid. Oh, I guess I've heard this a lot of times, and I've said it. It's a foolish thing to say. I'm not afraid. I hear men say that. I've heard people say, I'm not afraid of anyone or anything. Well, I'm sure they're speaking of things seen and people encountered in the flesh, and the bigger you are and the stronger you are and the better weapon you have, the more you can say that. But I'm not this is not talking about flesh. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. Of what? Well, let's look at it. The terror by night. Darkness falls. And the workers and the works of darkness roam and prowl. We don't need to be out there. After 10 p.m., I wish all the children were home. I'll be honest with you. I see these towns putting a curfew of 11, 11:30, and everybody kicks up their heels. But I'll be honest with you. Except for emergencies and people that have to be at work and 11 to 7 and all this sort of thing, emergencies, just out there knocking about on the streets. That's when trouble, that's where trouble is, and that's when trouble comes. Darkness. Workers of darkness, children of darkness, deeds of darkness. Most evil is at night. But if you have to be there, he'll keep you. You don't have to be afraid of the terrors of the darkness. And then he talks about, you know, one scripture in the psalm says, even the night will be light about me when I'm walking in his care. But here he talks about, don't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. When I think of an arrow, I think of something that swiftly comes and suddenly comes without warning, an arrow that flies by day. Arrows fly swiftly and suddenly. There's an accident in the mines. Slate falls without warning. Suddenly. Or in the mill, there's a crane that drops something on a man. There's an automobile going down the highway, and here comes another one, out of control. A friend of mine's son went one morning to pick up his wife and child at his mother-in-law's place, driving down a four-lane highway, 6 o'clock in the morning. Here came a man going fishing, pulling his boat. And that boat broke loose from the thing that holds it on the bumper and turned and went across the medium, came right through that boy's window, pierced it, the boat. Arrows that fly by day, heart attack. Friend of mine, throwing hay up on the wagon when I was a kid. Oh, my God. And fell on his back dead. Shootings in the school. The place of business. This is the day of sudden death. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not afraid of anybody. If you're in him. You needn't be afraid. What is this pestilence? This pestilence walketh in the darkness. You don't see that either. The pestilence of germs. Diseases. Plagues. Demons. Unseen enemies. But God controls all things. He's sovereign over all these things. You see, I'm talking about he that dwelleth in the secret place. He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, over whom he's given his angels charge and control. He'll deliver them. He'll cover them with his feathers. His truth will be their buckler, and they don't have to be afraid. Even of those things that can't even be seen under a microscope that can destroy. And then, here, listen to this. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What is that? Noonday. Destruction. Total destruction. The way that seemeth right to man, the end is destruction. Well, I'll tell you what this is. I believe it's connected with verse 7 and 8. It tells us what it is. In that day, that noonday, that bright shining day, when nothing can be hid from the brilliant light of His presence, it's judgment day. A thousand will fall at your side. You'll be there. There'll be a judgment. Scripture says it. The sea gave up the dead. Death and hell gave up the dead. The grave gave up the dead. And all men, small and great, stood before God. Before God at noonday. The brightness of His presence, of His judgment, of His throne. Nothing hid, nothing secret. Shouted from the housetop. And a thousand will fall at your side. And 10,000 at your right hand. Swept away, but it won't come nigh you. And with your eyes, you'll behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's right. In that day, we'll stand at the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die after that judgment. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God hath appointed a day in which He'll judge the world by that man whom He raised from the grave. And they'll fall. Unbelievers shall not stand in the judgment. They'll fall. Psalm 1 said they will not stand in the judgment. They'll fall. They'll fall 1,000 at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand. But you'll stand. Whew. Think about it. Who shall stand in His presence? By His grace, I'm going to stand. And you are. Verse 9, because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. The Baptists aren't going to stand. The Catholics aren't going to stand. The Mohammedans aren't going to stand. Believers are going to stand in Christ. That's right. Thou shalt not be afraid of the darkness, the terrors, of the arrows that fly by day, pestilence that walk in unseen places, and the destruction that will waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000. And in Christ, your refuge and habitation, when that overflowing scourge sweeps men away, verse 10, and no evil will befall you, and no plague will come nigh your dwelling. He'll give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, unless you dash thy foot upon a stone. And you'll tread upon the lion and the adder, the snake, the young lion, the dragon, shall you trample under feet. Now, I want to look at these last three verses and we'll go. Because He hath set His love upon me. And you can read that both ways. Because He set His love on me. And because by His grace, I set my love on Him. Where you find a love for Christ, a love of Christ, you find a love for Christ. Where you find those whom He hath drawn with an everlasting love, you'll find those who love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And because that love is between, Peter said, Lord, You know everything. You know I love You. There's no doubt about that. No argument on that score. I love You. I am my beloved's and He's mine. And because that is the relationship, therefore, number one, I'll deliver him. I'll save him from sin, from death, from hell. I'll save him. I'll redeem him. I'll deliver him. Turn him loose, the Scripture said. Turn him loose. I found a ransom. Turn him loose. Our God says to the law, to Satan, to sin, to the grave, turn him loose. I found a ransom. I'll deliver him. And I'll set him on high, seated together with Christ in the heavens. I'll do it. This is not something you do for God, something God does for us. Quit putting these critical, spiritual, everlasting deliverances in the hands of a man. Now, God will, if you will, know that your will got nothing to do with it. And our Lord came down from the mountain, and that leper came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. He said, I will. Well, the Lord said, well, now, would you do something? Oh, if you will, you can make me whole. I will be thy whole. And from that moment, he was whole. God says, I will deliver him. I'll set him on high, and he'll call on me, and I'll answer him. What's he calling for? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling for redemption. Oh, I pray about other things and everything and little things and big things, but I don't know. I don't know what to ask for, do you? Except one thing. Lord, save me. I don't know whether God wants me to get well or not on this earth. I'm going to get well someday, but I don't know. I find it very hard. Find it very hard to find God's will. We don't know the things for which we should pray, but I do know one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord, save me or I perish. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the trap and the dungeon and sin. Deliver me. Save my soul. I'll answer him. And I'll be with him in trouble. There's no trouble that he'll encounter that I won't be with him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. And I'll honor him. I'll honor him. Don't seek honor here. The passion of this world fadeth away. If you want to be known here, you want to be known there. You want the praise of men or the praise of the Lord. It doesn't usually go together. I hate that. I'm sorry about that. But the applause of this world and the applause of the kingdom of God usually don't go together. People usually give one for the other. But God said, I'll honor you in due time. I'll honor you. Like no honor you've ever imagined. Our Lord said to that crowd, does this offend you? Wait till you see the Son of God ascend up where he was before. And I say that about you and me, every believer. You just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. Talk about glory. And then in closing, with long life, will I satisfy him. And I'll show him my glory. With long life. That long life is not, it's not here. Too many of God's choice servants have died young. David Brainerd at 29. Robert Murray McShane at 29. Spurgeon at 58. Augustus Toplady at 35. But they have long life. They're not dead. They're not dead. The long life is eternal life. Eternal. He'll keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where my Redeemer I shall meet. Our Father, bless your word preached today for thy glory. Turn every heart in this place to Christ, away from the idols of this world, to the King of glory. Bless us through this day and order our steps for Christ's sake. Amen.